It's July the 3rd, 2018, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good great planet Earth. This is another webcast by PJ, your internet pastor. Let's listen to the folk laureate master, Oscar Brown Jr. And here's one that I think that we'll all remember and enjoy. Tonight's study, or today's study, if you will, is going to be on the watchman. What is the role of a watchman? What does a watchman do? It's not that sermon that I preached on a Sunday morning, but it was a Sunday night lecture when I presented it. I was talking with my little friend. I would just call him Church Boy. He's a young man in his 20s, has a very strong belief in God, and I was talking with him about something that a lot of people think is very controversial about female pastors. And this young lad in his 20s knew that God had never called a female to be a pastor. And I said, son, listen to me. I'm 74, you're in your 20s. By the time you get to be my age, it's going to be a miracle if you find anyone in this country that believes in anything that the Bible says. Because a lot of these people that go to church and have their ministers of music and all that other kind of stuff, they have no idea what the Word of God teaches. None at all. But I want to take you back. Oscar Brown Jr. is going to share a nice, nice number called Brown Baby. And if you've never heard this, listen and enjoy. Oscar Brown Jr., the late, great Oscar Brown Jr., Brown Baby.
Brown baby, as you grow up, I want you to drink from the plenty cup. I want you to stand up tall and proud. I want you to speak up clear and loud, brown baby, brown baby, brown baby, as years roll by, I want you to go with your head held high. I want you to live by the justice code. I want you to walk down the freedom road, brown baby. Now lie away, lie away, sleeping. Lie away here in my arms while your daddy and mommy protect you and keep you safe from harm. It makes me glad that you will have things I have never had. When out of men's hearts all the hate is hurled, you in a better world, brown baby.
We would hope so, wouldn't we? We would hope so, that the brown babies are living in a better world. My God, choking out black men and killing them. You're beating them down in the street, shooting them down like dogs in the streets of South Side of Chicago. Brown Baby. Thank you, Oscar. Man, I wonder if Oscar can peer down and take a good look at the society and see what we've made of it. Oscar Brown Jr. Brown Baby. All right. Let's start the tape.
What are we? What are you? Hi, this is Pastor Coleman, and on November the 30th, 1986, at our church at the Olivet Baptist Church on Sunday night, I preached a sermon taken from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 15 through 21, called the Watchman, our Watchwoman, our Watchperson, Spokesperson, You Person, You Born Again Persons. You are called of God to be in action for God, to be a watchman. I emphasize some very important points in the sermon that God calls men. He calls men to go to other men. And these men know from where the message that they spread is derived. It comes from God. And lastly, the watchman's word often carry warnings which spark different reactions. You know that if you're a watchman or a watchwoman. Whose job is it to evangelize, Pastor John? We'll find out. Let's get right into the message.
Now, this is going to be very interesting, because as I handle this subject matter, I'm going way back. 1986 is when I spoke these words, in 1986. Now, when I'm talking about a watchwoman, I'm not talking about a watchwoman preacher. I'm talking about someone that's going to say what they need to say in order to promulgate the idea of God. Are you watching? We need people in our community to do that, because our community is full of money mongers. Everybody's trying to make a dollar. It's about profit. It's not about whether or not the person's lives can be profited. So from 1986 to 2018, let's see if the old man, PJ, has changed his dribble about what God has said about people that look out for us. Enjoy the message.
Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 15 through 21. Watchmen. Watchmen. Good scripture. Ezekiel, the watchman. Let's have, as soon as Jackie comes in, amen, we'll have a word of prayer as we look at this. Watchmen. Father, thank you. Thank you again for the word of God, for the time to preach it, for the time to listen to it. Thank you for what you've done in our lives thus far today, in our worship, in our church. Father, continue to lead and guide us as we continue in this time of praise and worship. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we ask you to be with us, Lord. Strengthen us. Amen. Amen. Had a good time tonight. Tonight at 3 o'clock, 3:30, Brother Carlton went to a church and was a speaker in a kind of like a post-Thanksgiving fellowship, and Carlton spoke very well. And Brother Charles kind of kidded and said, yeah, let's give him a letter to preach. Carlton did real. Charles, God bless him. But Carlton did very, very well. There was another young man on the program. He got up there and had about 4 or 5 sheets of paper. And Carlton just stood up right in front of the pulpit and just spoke forth from his heart and blessed us. Johnny Jones and I and Brother Melton went. And so whenever any of you are invited out to go somewhere and speak at a church, let us know so we can go there and pray with you and just lift up the name of the Lord. We had a good time. But Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15 through 21 is basically some scriptures that, well, you might identify this scripture as being something pertinent for ministers only. Well, Carlton was acting as a watchman tonight. Verse 15. Then I came to them of the captivity of Telabib that dwell by the river of Shebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word in my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, isn't this unique? Because he speaks about the unrighteous man and the righteous man. If you warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. The watchman is put in double jeopardy here. If you see a sinner, saint, and you see that sinner living in a way, and you do not tell that sinner that unless he repents or thinks about turning to the Lord from his way, when that sinner dies, God is going to say to you, saint, you watchmen, you watchwomen, I'm going to require the blood of that sinner at your hand, because you had an opportunity to tell him. If you see a sinner and you do tell him, and he refuses to hear you and die, well, then you're all right, because you've done what? You spoke forth the word. Then God says to him, and I'm putting it in layman's terms, Eureka, so you can understand this. Then he says, if you are a watchman and you see a righteous man, that means a believer, a righteous man or a righteous woman doing something wrong, and you don't tell him, and that believer dies, God is saying, I'm going to hold you responsible because, and you know the way some of us are, well, they're a believer. They've been in this business longer than me. I'm going to tell them something. He says, I'm going to hold you responsible. But he said, if you tell that righteous man and he yet doesn't repent, I'm going to hold him responsible and not you. What is that saying to us? That's saying that we as Christians are held in great responsibility. You might say, John, no. Ezekiel 3 is talking about you as the prophet. Yeah, that falls on me. But some of this also falls on you, because I'm not where you are, where you're going to be this week. You're going to be there. You're going to be dealing with that righteous man. You're going to be dealing with that unrighteous man. A good example. The fellowship that we went to, some of the Christians believed that they could dance around a little bit and party a little bit, and Carlton was sharing that with us. Carlton was obligated to tell that professing Christian, you had better repent of that. That is wrong. Carlton didn't say go to the preacher. He knew that it was his responsibility as a watchman. Only those that are appointed by God to be watchmen are watchmen. If you are a born-again believer, you are a watchman. Only those that dare to believe and to repeat his judgments to other men are watchmen. If you never warn anybody else about where they're going, you are not a watchman for God. And I doubt if you're a Christian. How can you know that you're going to be going to heaven and you never spread a word of grace to somebody? Only those who are the called out ones that produce fruit are watchmen. This is what Ezekiel was. Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. And when you look at verse 15, I'm cheating a little bit. You guys got your Bible still open? Look, start at verse 12. Because this will give you an insight to why God had to speak to him this way. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. And I heard also the noise of the wings of living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of one wheel over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. In other words, God gave Ezekiel a great vision of angelic and heavenly splendor here. And then look what it says in verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, for the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. In other words, God trying to deal with this man to get him to act, and the man got bitter. And verse 15 says, he gives the city, and he says that he sat there 7 days astonished at the vision that God had given him. And then God told him, you are a watchman. Now what does God have to do to us to get us to be about his business? What does God have to do to the church today? To you believers that come back Sunday night. And the ones that come back Sunday night are really the ones that want to be in service. Of course, I'm so glad we have Sunday night sermons, because Sunday night sermons for our working people, this is supposed to bless you, Julia and Amos, just as it would bless anybody else. But what does God have to do to get us to respond? Does he have to put us in a whirlwind to show us a will in the middle of a will? Do we have to sit down astonished for 7 days? Is this Holy Spirit in you going to become bitter or embittered because you don't want to do what he asks you to do? You're a watchman. Ezekiel 3:15-21. Many would dare to choose the title watchman, and I know that many of us in the church will not choose to be called a watchman. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, preacher, that's for you. You've got to tell them. What if I'm not where you are, and you are the only watchman that God has appointed? You are obligated to tell them. They must know you as a watchman have got to know the certainty of your office. What does it mean to you to be a believer? Doesn't mean that you're saved and you're sanctified and you're on your way to heaven anyhow. That's beautiful. But how does that influence you? Last time I spoke with Brother Eddington, Alvin. Alvin was telling me that the Lord seems to be... Alvin has, whenever conflict and consequence comes, he speaks it readily. And we smile about that when we talk. I says, man, that's good. He's just yielding to God. Whatever position God puts him in to say it, he says it. He believes what he hears preached. He believes the commission that he's been put in, and he is a watchman. And praise God for him. And I believe that you're doing it too, but I just want to encourage you to continue to do this. All right, so let's look at this. The key to this text is in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. Here God is saying, I have made you my spokesman. I have made you the helmsman. You are the guarder or the protector. That's the key to the text here. All right. And God is saying that I've done it. Ezekiel is just like you are. Ezekiel is just like I am. I have made thee. God makes the choice, and he foresees your situation, and he challenges you, Charles, to be a watchman. You see a wino, Charles, and you know the wino is drinking his life away. You are supposed to sit down, Charles, and say, brother, have you ever thought that when you die, you can spend eternity in hell, separated from Christ by your unrighteousness? That wino may curse you out. If you don't do it and God gives you the opportunity to do it, and he dies, guess who's going to be held responsible? You are, because your word, your exhortation to him, could have been that. Look, how do you know that 15 other people had told him the same thing, and he thought that he had left town and escaped it? And he comes right in front of you, your watchman. You were that last driving hammer to nail the truth home, and you turned away. Nah. Come on, brother, go to church with me. And he drops dead the next day. You are the church. You are to act as a watchman right where you are. If God says that I've called you to be a watchman, therefore God was saying you belong to me. I have some ownership rights on you. I have some relationship rights on you. You are responsible to respond to me the way I ask you to. And that results in positive affirmations. Since I am his and he is mine, whatever he asks me to do, I do it. He says in verse 17, son of man, I have made you a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word in my mouth and give them warning from me. You're not doing it from you. How many of you feel like this? Well, John, if I say something, they'll think that I think that I'm better than them. No, you're not better than they are. You're better off. You're saved. You know what's beyond this life. You might say, John, I'm not too sure of myself. I'm still struggling. Who am I to tell anybody anything about righteousness? One who has had righteousness work in his heart. That's who you are. You are his property. You are obligated to do that. He calls men. That's what God is doing. He calls men. I have made thee. Therefore you belong to me. Which results in positive affirmations. I am not agitated when he gives me my proper assignment. Now what do I mean by that? God gives you an assignment to do something and you get real agitated with him. Well, hey, this person keeps coming back to me and I feel really pressured to say, see, I'm talking about evangelism. I really feel pressured to say something to him. God, please, but I don't feel like I want to do it. You don't know what's around the corner for that individual. Practice seeing the unregenerate man through the very same eyes that Jesus sees him through. Jesus is in heaven, but he sees people through your eyeballs. He communicates with them through your person. You are called to be a watchman or a spokesman or a watchwoman, if you want to put it, or even a watch teenager. Yeah, gee whiz. How many teens at your school, Eureka? Delia joined the Christian teen club at her school. I said, Delia, isn't that one? I'm glad she joined the Christian club. I said, how many people in the club? Oh, five or six. We're looking for a speaker to come to speak. It's ho-hum nearness. Ho-hum, I can take it or leave it. God holds Christian teenagers as watchmen responsible. Look what he says. He calls men, and he calls them, secondly, to go to other men. Verse 17b. He says it. I want you to go to other men. Now, if you say that this verse just applies to me as a pastor, I'm not living in Israel, nor are you. So who is God talking to? He's talking to all of us. To Israel. That's God's own choice. Who's your choice? If you want people to be saved in your family, you got to go to them. My heart was blessed, Jackie, by your dad on Thanksgiving night. We had said the blessing there around the table, and everybody said their little verse, and Cliff started it on the other end, so he'd be the last one. And right at the end, Brother Morning said, some of you here in my family are lost. If I've done anything to step in your way, I'm sorry. Come to Christ before I die. It is imperative. That man was acting as a watchman. The sinners were right there and he said, repent before it's too late. He made a decisive statement. He is not a minister of the gospel. If he had not have done it, and anybody in his family dies, God will not be able to say to Deacon Morning, I will require their blood at your hands. He said it. How many of you will say that around your loved ones, around your friends? How many of you will tell them from your heart? To those people, Ezekiel was sent to a people that were supposed to be an evangelistic nation. Wouldn't you like to see somebody go hand in hand with you? That was a beautiful thing tonight also. They had three brethren at that church that traveled together from another visiting church that came there. It was obvious to us that they traveled together like we did. We support our brothers. He's telling them, Charles, that we're going to give Carlton a letter to preach, huh? But anyhow, aren't we to go to those very people that are the closest to us? God was sending Ezekiel to his own people. I'm sending you to a nation that's supposed to be called a nation of evangelists. Here we are, we're living around, and some of us in the church think we're saved, and we just as lost as a Bessie bug. I'm telling you, God is sending us to those who would never think of rebellion towards God. Look who Ezekiel was sent to. God's own people. They say, oh, we haven't rebelled against God. God wants to send you to people like that. I'm all right. I don't do anything wrong. I'm a nice person. I spoke with an in-law of mine tonight. I got a chance to call him before because I didn't get a chance to for the holiday. And I called him and he said, oh, I saw my ex, you know. And the person is really down. I mean, I'm so glad I'm not with this person anymore because it would drag me down. And I told this in-law of mine, that's what happens without any direction in your life. You cannot go anywhere but down. I mean, to the depths. And that very same person told me that in-law of hers, that ex, wanted to be a preacher and called me to try to get me to come by his church and pat him on the back and say, see, ain't I a preacher? I said, I don't play with God like that, brother. Let's go to the third point. I said that he calls men. Secondly, he calls men to go to other men. And thirdly, these men knew from where the message derived, from where it came. Look what he said in verse 17. therefore hear the word at my mouth. In other words, the word that you as a watchman takes come directly from God, not from me. You can't get out there and say, well, I'm talking to you because Pastor John told me to, so here it is, repent or go to hell. That person's not going to repent. Because number one, you've given them man's words, and there's no power behind that. Where does it come from? It comes from God. The Lord states that it's His word. We carry words from the Master to people that need the Master. Don't carry your words. Now, how do you do that, John? See? Well, that's very easy. You don't go in your own spirit. You don't go in your own mind. If you're frightened, you say, Lord, I don't know how to approach the situation. I don't know how to talk to this person. The Lord will give you wisdom in how to do that. Since it's His word, our eagerness to share it should be the priority. See, I'm not eager to share something from me. I'm eager to share something from God to you. That's why when we preach from this book. We don't preach from, to me, a bird means a flower and a bumblebee means honey, therefore sweetness should be your life. Well, leave the church. You go somewhere. So you can go to that science of mind stuff. We talk about all that, but we preach God's word. The divine word is carried as a consequence of you becoming a watchman. If you haven't become a watchman, you're not going to carry the word. You better believe me. You're not going to carry it. I hear Sister Brown had her family over, right? Thanksgiving. Yes, and I know all her family. All right? All of them, like in my family, are not ready to meet the King. In some kind of way, you and your husband should have been ministering between the passing of the plates. In some kind of way, Jesus should have been seen in your house. We, all of us, have sinners in our homes if we live with somebody. I know I have them in mind. Jesus is supposed to be magnified and seen. Now, what does that mean? That means that you got to spend some time. Jackie, I did something that I never did before. Leslie likes this little boy. Well, not like. She's fond of him. And the boy is a very nice hockey player. I'm not going to expand on this, but I'm going to tell you what being a watchman entails. Being a watchman entails doing some things that you've never done before. I went to my first semi-pro, I guess, teenage hockey game last night. It was cold in, at that ice rink. You know that? But I had to go with my daughter because she wanted me to go. And little Leslie is not a professing Christian. And usually Saturday evenings, that's when I'm staying home hitting the books, studying. I could have said, as a matter of fact, she wanted me to go, and they were at the dinner table, and they were whispering, and that's an indicator to me that, oh, Daddy can't go. I said, what is it? Well, she has a hockey game. I said, when do you want me to get ready? As a watchman, I had to do that for my daughter. You parents realize this. If you want your children to come to Christ, you've got to do for them. You've got to consider what they need. You just can't say, hey, well, look, I'm too busy as a watchman. I can't go to a hockey game. And I went and rather enjoyed it. It was nice. Amen. I enjoyed that. So we carry it because of a consequence. Because our hearts have been prepared. We've been made peaceful, purposeful, and practical. And that's the way we carry the word. Let me hit the fourth and last point. The watchman's words often carry warnings which spark different reactions. 17b. It says, therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Whenever you give people warning from God, it is going to make them respond in one, two, or maybe three different ways. Indifference? I can care less, John. Belief? My God, I didn't know that. A total unbelief. Get out of my life. I don't need you. Now, William, you know what I'm talking about. There are some people out there in our society who, when you mention God and religion, they just smile and say, thank you. No thanks. It's a crutch. You're a weak man. I don't need your weakness. I'm okay. All right? Keep your dialogue. I don't need it. You know what you're to do? Keep your dialogue. At least you've attempted. And that person, once you give that dialogue, God is going to work. Hey, you better believe me. God is going to work in that person's life and going to bring him right back to you, the watchman. But he would never bring him back to you if you kept your mouth shut. Tragedy comes in his life, and if you don't open up your mouth, the man is going to go crazy and jump out of a window. And all you had to say, my Lord Jesus, can resolve that. I don't need your Jesus, brother. I don't need your religion. Stay out of my life, you hear me? And cuss you out. You said, oh my God, I'm sorry, brother. I apologize. I thought that you needed help. That's all right. And when that person needs help, he's going to be looking for a watchman. And if you don't speak, he's not coming to you. The warning is from God through the watchman to the guilty. He didn't tell Ezekiel to warn the ones that weren't guilty, only the ones that were guilty. And I'm talking about some of them are even in the church. That's what it said. Some of them in the church, you know, oh, pastor, you shouldn't be so cold-blooded. They're Christians. It's going to be all right. Leave that alone, brother. He said, you better warn them in the church. Because if you don't warn them and they die, I'm going to require, hey, I warn the people in the church, outside of the church. Pastor came by here yesterday, names unnamed right now. Pastor came by here yesterday, spoke with me about an hour in my study. Sit right back there and try to tell me how to pastor this church. You know what I told him? You a lie. You wrong, brother. Oh, you cold man. I said, I'm not. I said, I'm cold. I said, God made you a watchman over there, not here. You can barely watch that, and you're trying to watch this. But you know, you better tell people. Now, if I hadn't have told him that, and you read it right here, it's right here in the verse. It says, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. But that verse before it says, if you warn him, and he disregards your warning, brother, walk away smiling. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to use what God has given you. Today, the very same method is used that Ezekiel was given to use here. But listen, I hope you don't have to sit down 7 days astonished trying to make up your mind. When God really works, oh, I'm so, my God is blowing my mind. Do what he tells you to do. Let me end this up. The warning carries an absolute promise from God. Absolute promise. Verses 18 and 19. You can see that absolute promise. If you warn them and they turn, they're saved and it's good. If you warn them and they don't, they're damned, and God is saying that's good too. Because you warned them. That's what I mean by that fourth point. It sparks different reactions in your hearer. Expect that. When you talk to people, they're going to react differently. Warnings also carries with it rewards. Rewards for the watchman and reward for the one for whom he is watching over. What is my reward? Paycheck every month? No, that's no reward. That's for ministry's sake, to give me more freedom to minister. My reward does not come until somebody turns from his way and come to the Lord. I said, Lord, the reward is another soul for the kingdom. My reward is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than 99 just persons. There are warnings for the watchman and rewards for the watchman. There are warnings for the one in which he watches over, one way or the other. You're watching. You're to get out there and do this. You're to get out there this week when you go back to your job and it's your break time.
Concerned about it, not in this country, not in our neighborhoods, not in this environment. Thank you for coming to my website and listening to those ancient lessons taken from the Old Testament. And I know that that was for Israel, but I believe that the Bible says that I am God. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His dictums never change. We have to talk with our children. I was talking with young church boy today, and I said, listen, son, I like a party just like you do, and I go out, I have fun. But I was telling the young man, I said, look, be very careful where you go, what you do, what you say, because they got phones on cameras and everything. Somebody take a bad picture of you and put you in a bad light, and that picture can be used 10, 15, 20 years from now. I told him, I'm 74 years old, and ain't nobody got no naked pictures of me out there that they can put up unless I put them out there, and I ain't putting them up. But I warned him, because if I didn't warn him, his blood would be required at my hand. Regardless of how much I like him or how smart he is, I think he's going to be a whiz kid in college, and he's going to do well just like Canto did. I got to tell him the truth. Be careful. Because when your life is on the line like that, and then if I don't tell them, then God's going to hold me guiltless on the day when men are judged. And I know we don't even want to think that men are going to be judged now. Not today in this world that we live in. Oh man, it ain't nothing about all that stuff, all that ancient religion and all that kind of, you know, it makes me think I'm looking at a Star Wars movie. And all the Jedis are all gone. Look at Luke. He's an old Skywalker. You can call me that all you want to. But the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It's never going to change. And it's not going to change because people don't want to attune to it. You will live by that Word. I remember I was pastoring a church, and we called that church Living by the Word. Radio ministries and everything. We live by the Word, not just talk it and squawk it. And now that unfortunately that same ministry is ran by charlatans, hooligans, crooks, money whores, and the people are not even discerning enough to know it. It is shameful what men will do for a dollar. Just absolutely shameful. But I'm so glad that you can come freely to my website and hear this old man play some messages way back in 1986. No, I don't preach like that now. I don't have to. I have all this stuff on tons of work, and I'm going to put as much as I can up on my website as often as I can. And when people come to my website before I die, and you will know when I'm dead, because when I'm dead, I won't be able to pay for this anymore. And nobody's going to pay this fee to keep my website up. When I die, this is going to disappear. And no more will you hear from PJ. Now, I hope that there's somebody that's going to pick up the banner and be concerned about other people hearing God's truth, because this truth needs to be shared, especially with people in our nation, in our country. We have hit an all-time low in this country in terms of morality. Just an all-time low. And will it ever get better? I doubt it. I doubt it. And there is more. And hey, listen, I'm guilty of it too. I'm an American. So since I'm an American, I'm a fleshly person. I got to have my house, my comfort. I was telling somebody that I want to put another chair in my living room and make my house look more comfortable. There's people around the world that doesn't have a bed, a cot to lie down on. I was by the post office today, and a man was saying, can anybody give me any food, any money for food? I remember I gave him some money a couple of months ago when I was there. And really, I don't have money to be buying people dinners. And he's right next to a restaurant there. The place for him to stand would have been right in front of that restaurant and ask that question to people that are going in feeding their stomachs instead of people that's going in the post office. Wrong place to stand. I'd stand in front of the restaurant. And I would say, I'm very hungry. I wonder if you could give me a few dollars for something to eat. And somebody may come out of there with a whole plate of food and give it to me. See, but I couldn't do that. I was taking care of business, going to try to pay these little bills that I have with the little money that I have. But there are some of you sitting out there that is your brother's keeper. You could afford to do that. Would you do it? See, we're Americans, but it's just like Anthony Hamilton said from his album, called Ain't Nobody Worrying. That's the name of the album. I believe this was his premier album, the first album that he came out with. And when I heard it years ago, I said, oh, I've got to have this. This will work good on a lot of my webcasts. And Anthony Hamilton has a Christian background. And I know I heard about the drug problem, but when you get popular like that and you start using drugs, I know how it is. You give somebody all that money that he never had it, there needs to be some discipline. But see, what I like about this song is that he told the truth about it. Ain't nobody worrying about anything. Well, listen, God bless you. Thank you for coming to the website. Continue to come every day and see what new item I'm going to put up. I got to pause right now and say just thank you for the people that were realistically concerned about me when I had my open heart surgery. It appears that the bypass is working good. You can hear the strength coming back in my voice every day and the sure determination to continue to do those things that are appropriate at the right time to do it. So anyhow, it has been a joy. Thank you for coming to the site. And be sure to come back tomorrow. Let's see if I can give you a preview of what I'm going to share tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow I'm going to share what a definition of gospel preaching is. And then the day after that, I'm going to share a definition of gospel living. All right? And so a definition of gospel preaching and a definition of living the gospel. That'll be on the, 4th of July. And so I plan to, or I may have something else up. I don't know. It all depends upon where I'm going with this and what I want you guys to hear. I'm having fun just putting it up, playing it. Well, thank you for coming to the website. You know the drill. Stay into the Word.